When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Forever Dog.
Hey gang, yeah, I got one thing I want to say to everyone before we really get this episode started, and that's I'm back. Welcome back, gang, to another episode of American Arts and Culture Review.
Joey's super cool food review.
Yes. My wife are diving right back into it. We're having a blast.
Is he back?
Oh, he didn't go anywhere. No, he didn't go damn place.
But what do you mean you're diving back into?
We're checking him out again.
Well, remember what he said to you on your birthday? Or on your wedding day?
Yeah. Incredible.
But it made you feel uncomfortable.
Well, of course. I can't watch shit like that.
Why?
I don't know. I just can't. Sorry, gang. We're going to be eating on the pod today. After a big celebration. Because we're back.
Well, tell them where you went. Are you not?
I made a we
went to Switzerland.
We went to Switzerland.
We went to Switzerland.
Tell them you guys don't.
We're making
a. We made a feature film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
It's about Clay. He gets bonked on the head and he goes to heaven. And he has to suck off all the angels so he can go back to Earth.
You gotta sock.
Yeah, it's unrated.
You gotta sock them all off.
Well, you gotta sock them all off.
Which means I take off their socks.
Yeah.
And then I fart back into here. I really just gave away the whole movie. So, where's that? We did that. And we're back now.
We're back. And we're eating chips. So, if you subscribe to the Patreon, those are candy boys. But normal podcast, we're the chip boys.
I feel like we've been the margarita boys.
Yeah.
Oh.
Haven't we?
I don't think you could say anything more incorrect.
Yeah, I think correct.
So.
But it's okay because we've been gone for a while, which gave us a lot of time to watch the Snyder Cut.
Mm-hmm.
All of the Snyders.
Oh, yeah.
Watch both versions.
Yeah.
Did you know there's another hashtag trending right now?
The real one, because they cut out the Green Lantern?
Well, no, I didn't even know about that. Tell me about that.
He wanted to have the Green Lantern at the end of the movie, and Warner Brothers refused.
Because Warner Brothers has a Green Lantern show they're developing right now?
Yeah, well, people love shows. They can't get enough of shows, and if a movie comes out and, like, disrupts their TV show, you can't be having that.
Are you being fascist right now?
Yes, I'm being fascist right now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm over shows.
Yeah, me too. I hate fucking TV. Are you kidding me? Only TV that I like is that new glass-blowing competition show Netflix Whitney made me watch one time, and I actually enjoyed it because it's really short.
What about the sword show?
Sword?
Forged in Fire is a sword-making show?
Right.
Sword-making competition show?
Wait, swords or swordsmen?
Swords. Swords. They make swords.
Do you mean to say swords or swordsmen?
Swords.
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 Yeah, I think you're thinking of Ben Schwartzman. And he's on...
he did Rushmore.
He's a smart ass. Yeah, he's a smart ass from Parks and Recreation. And the fucking little smart guy, Rushmore.
I love Rushmore.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I love Rushmore.
Rushmore?
Yeah.
I don't know
about you. Listen, I'm off TV altogether. I tried to watch WandaVision, nothing against it, just couldn't. I'm just, like, sick of TV shows. So I'm a gamer now. As Rod and Clay have seen today, I play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater in front of them. And then I'm downloading some Batman games.
You're downloading a game while you're playing a game. It's fucking sick.
And that's freaking 2021 for you. But, so are you aware?
This year's been a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Wait, this year has? Or last year?
I don't know.
Rod, you need... Rod, I can't tell if you're being fascist.
Why is your place so loud?
Because you asked me to turn the heat on.
I didn't say that.
All right, I'll turn it off. I'll be right back.
Can you hear it on the pod?
I don't know. I can hear it in real life.
Is it bothering you?
Yeah, kind of is. Where's that coming from?
I think right over there.
Okay.
You got a vent right there. I think that's probably hot. Which should really be able to control it on his phone.
Yeah, why not? What's wrong? Dude, why do you have a dumb house?
I don't know.
Have you not smartified your house yet, you fucking bimbo?
All right, but the other hashtag, release the Schumacher cut.
Excuse me?
Excuse me?
Mm-hmm. Of what?
Batman Forever. Apparently they had to cut 45 minutes out of it. And they've released some of the scenes.
People are losing it.
Huh.
They want to release the Schumacher cut.
I mean, I'm all for it.
I'm all in. I'm loving these directors, new director movies. These old movies that are new because they get to... It's like, yeah, what else is streaming for?
Did they do that with...
Blade Runner 40 times.
They did it with Apocalypse Now, Redux, director cut.
Yeah. I say, yeah, let the movie be one way in the theater, then release it, and then... Do it the director's ideal vision for streaming, because who cares if it's 4 hours long?
Yeah.
Do I like the Snyder Cut? I don't know. I'm fascinated by it. That's what I'll say.
You like it more than the original, right?
Oh, no question. It's like I'd say it's 100 times better of a movie.
But Josh.
I say you call him Josh.
Yeah. He said that version's not even his version.
Right.
I didn't make that one either. Actually, nobody made that one.
Who was the auteur behind the first one? What the hell?
A lot of people don't know. It's Greg Berendt.
Oh, really? Greg Berendt?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah. It's Greg Berendt.
Wow. I heard he got help with Kevin Pollak.
Yeah, yeah. Greg Berendt and Kevin Pollak teamed together. And yeah, they just...
So I've been calling it the Whedon Cut, and I'm wrong. It's the Greg Berendt.
Yes.
Kevin Pollak cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know why I asked that when I knew the answer the whole time.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah.
Remember, heads up, gang. Whit made me sit through it. The fuck was that? What's going on with your house?
This chair pops. It's got old nuts in it. What were you saying, Clay?
I have something in common with that chair.
You got old nuts in you?
Yeah.
Clay...
I was born with old nuts. You know about that?
Mm-mm.
You got a brand new boy. The nuts are old. That's what the doctor told my parents.
Huh.
Yeah.
So what were you about to say?
I don't know. Something about my nuts being old?
No.
You want to know what the doctor said when I came out?
No. What was it, Rod?
I don't remember.
Rod, come on. You've been writing this whole episode down. Just go to your notes.
Was it something about Kevin Pollak?
No, it wasn't. Uh-uh.
Greg Berendt, then.
Oh, no. Who's Greg Berendt?
He's a comedian.
Yeah.
He used to have... I mean, I used to see him all over the place. Huh. He did a bit about a shake weight. I mean, I'm sure he's, like, very successful. It's just I don't see him as much.
Right. What happened to Christopher Titus? That's a real question.
Oh, he's, like, just a comedian who's constantly on tour, bleeding heart, liberal.
Yeah.
I imagine he's alienated a lot of his... Like blue collar.
What was his thing? He liked cars.
He like in my mind, yeah. He likes like engines and cars.
He's a hot rod comedian.
Yeah,
right.
But I'm feeling like maybe that's not the case. In reality, I feel like it was just for the show. I loved the show.
Yeah, I love the show.
Boy, too. I I don't know how many episodes there were. There just weren't enough, though. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Release the Titus cut.
For sure, release the Titus cut.
He goes, I did already. Watch it.
Remember when everybody made fun of that dude? What's the guy's name who did Mad About You? You have his book.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name?
Couldn't tell you. Paul something?
Paul Reiser?
Paul Reiser. Everybody made fun of Paul Reiser on Twitter because he some emails of his leaked about why they won't release his show on DVD.
They made fun of him for that?
And I'm like, you mean like his life's work? Yeah.
Don't you want that on DVD?
Why would you be making fun of him for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wants... He wants Mad About You on DVD. Yeah, yeah, I think that's fair.
I think another thing is he makes money off of that.
Fucking yeah.
Reasonable thing for somebody to want.
And everybody's roasting him like, I don't understand the fucking joke. So I watched Diner. Have you seen that before?
Is it related to dinner?
Mm-hmm. He's in it. And he's also an alien or aliens.
Oh, yeah, he is an alien.
Is it Aliens or Alien?
He's definitely in Aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
I remember being a kid going, oh, here's Albert Brooks again. I love him.
And which one?
There's three guys. There's the guy... Well, I didn't know he was Albert Brooks. It's just like Taxi Driver, Batman, and...
Oh, Aliens. Arliss.
Yeah, I go...
Oh, they're all the same
here's
guy.
The same guy.
Yeah. Guy. Arliss guy from Batman.
Yeah.
He plays Knox. Uh-huh. Paul Reiser and Albert Brooks. To a six-year-old kid who's just waiting for Joker to fall into the goo.
Oh, yeah.
You're thinking, we love to see it.
We love to see this guy.
We love to see Arliss also be in Mad About You, yep. And also be in Diner, and also be in Taxi. Our five-year-old Clay's favorite movie, Taxi Driver.
There it is. Here's Arliss again.
Awesome. My dad loved Arliss.
He a sports agent in that?
Yeah. Gotta love it.
Sports agent? Why was that such an interesting job?
It is to this day.
I guess that
I was thinking about this the other day. Because there's so many movies that are about directors or actors, or really directors and agents and shit.
Yeah.
And it's just endless drama for nothing.
Yeah.
And that's why they're interesting movies to watch, is because at the end of the day, none of that shit means anything.
Right.
And so... The stakes feel important, but then you walk out of the movie and you're like, who cares?
It's like watching Entourage.
Yeah.
You're like, at the end of the day, these are all rich guys and this doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But for 30 minutes, I cared about it.
And boy, do you care.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Entourage is easily, and I've seen a lot of good TV shows. Best, most enjoyable experience I've ever had watching a show is Entourage. Yeah. And I've watched it with Clay in our youth.
I loved it.
Loved every second of it. And I watched it with Mitra in my adult life as a domesticated couple with dating a woman who's never seen Entourage and has nothing invested. Didn't even give a fuck about Hollywood until 5 years ago. So why would she care? And then she loved every second of it.
Yep.
We watched the movie. Wasn't long enough. Yeah. Bad. Ooh, it's bad though. But
oh, it sucks.
Love every second of it. I don't know.
What was the movie?
What's the plot? You mean?
Yeah.
Hyde. His directorial debut that is gonna win all the awards. Hyde.
Oh, he's a DJ.
Yeah, but he's a DJ.
So good.
I really don't believe that a movie about a DJ could win an award.
It did, and I think Johnny Drama wins the best actor or something.
Yeah, but it's unbelievable to me.
Well, Rod, you're wrong. What about We Have Friends? Or We're Your Friends?
No, We Have Friends.
I never saw it. I don't know.
You never saw We Are Friends?
No.
Did you see it, Clay?
Yeah, of course. I saw it in the theaters. Are you fucking crazy?
I saw it with you, I guess.
Yep. Remember he gets inspired by the buzz of the electric poles or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He hears music everywhere.
Because he hears
a nail gun.
Oop, that's a song.
That's a song. His neighbor's playing the drums. That's a song.
His neighbor's playing guitar. Ooh, that's a song.
This is Zac Efron.
Well, at the end, he can't remember how to be a DJ because he's sad because his friend died. And then he listens to a clip of his friend.
Remember that scene something? After his face, your friend died. I'm so sorry. I know. Wait, what are these buttons?
Yeah. What is this record thing? And then he goes and he DJs and using clips of his friend who died, his voice.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
And a telephone pole. making some noise.
To the mic, my man.
Yeah, we're doing a podcast, Whit.
Sorry, man. I've been out of it.
Oh, my God. You've been playing too many games, my man.
Yeah.
We're going to have to replace the mic with a gamer headset.
Are y'all? Would y'all be interested? Clay's never even watched Snyder Cut.
I saw like 4 hours of it.
Oh, yeah. Wait, we watched it together. But you bailed it in the final scene.
Yeah, I don't think so. The something was done, something was something, I don't know.
But what about when Superman comes in and you're just absolutely shouting because you're so excited?
And Superman, I don't think Clay saw that. That's when he left.
That's insane.
He's eye lasering off the horns of the guy.
Oh.
And he's punching all of his armor off.
Fuck, it's so sick.
It was cool to see Superman beat up the guy.
I was just too busy laughing at the Flash. My stomach was hurting. I had to leave.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
It is genuinely funny when he, for some reason, he grabbed a hot dog he put in his pocket. Remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah. But then you realize he grabs the hot dog so he can feed it to the dog.
Well, that was like...
I was like that he grabs a hot dog.
I was like, yeah, he grabbed the hot dog.
It'd be very funny if it didn't.
I thought he was going to put the hot dog in the girl's mouth.
If it didn't come up later, he just had the hot... He just did the hot dog in the pocket and never comes back up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's like easy. You do that part and then like fucking 30 minutes into the movie, he's doing something else and he goes, why do I have a hot dog in my pocket?
But there is a lot of shit that doesn't make any sense about his, like...
About tapping into the Speed Force?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw...
Also, if he can do that so effortlessly, just, like, do that all the time for every mistake that's ever happened.
Doesn't he need electricity?
Isn't there electricity?
No, he learns at the end that he doesn't need any...
No, that's a...
Right?
Good time to learn about
that. That he doesn't need what?
He doesn't need there's nothing. He just needs to go really, really fast, and then he can turn time all messed up.
Right. Yeah, but there's consequences.
Like what?
You make a flashpoint.
Oh, so when he did that in Justice League, Snyder.
What's a flashpoint? Can you explain this?
So a flashpoint is just like where you make an alternate. You basically make an alternate timeline.
Gotcha. So when he did that, there is a timeline that Batman is dreaming of.
Yeah.
Where Flash was not able to succeed, and like everything is all dusty and
shitty. Yeah, I think that's the other timeline.
So why is Batman able to dream of this shit?
I don't know. He just sees the visions of it.
I love it. I love it.
Do you really honestly love it?
I keep thinking more and more about Ben Affleck as Batman in the Snyder world.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And the Justice League. And I like that he is like a hopeful Batman who like has regrets about how he handled Superman before. Mm-hmm. And that he's like, faith, Alfred, you gotta have faith.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, that's kind of nice. He's old. He's like 50. He's probably towards the end of his Batman career. He has to assemble the Justice League, and he's just has nothing but hope. I like that, but I hate the other Batman versus Superman. And I tried to watch that like a couple days ago, and
so boring.
It's so boring, except for when Batman is fighting like bad guys. That's cool.
Yeah.
Right.
But other than that, it's just like
you don't want to know.
I gotta say, when Batman fights Superman, it is a very cool fight. But to get there, it's like 2.5 hours.
Oh boy,
of just a very boring movie.
When I see Batman, Ben Affleck as Batman, my first thing I think is, this is absolutely not my thing and will never be my thing.
It is one of my favorite versions of Batman is Batman as the manager of the Justice League.
Yeah.
I like him being, he has to like figure out everyone's schedule or whatever.
Oh God.
And Ben Affleck cannot shake, like even in his performances. And I've always been a Ben Affleck apologist. Like I like his movies. I think he's a great actor. But he can't shake that he just looks like a guy who's dealing with a divorce.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah.
Even when he was married, he was just like a guy who's dealing with a divorce.
That's why he's so good in Gone Girl.
Oh, he's perfect in Gone Girl.
He's his best casting ever.
And sometimes I don't even know if... I don't even know with Ben Affleck that he knows what he possesses. I'm sure he does, obviously, because he's like a good director and shit. But he has that quality of like... I don't know, but I just, oh, whoops, I'm absolutely watchable. You know? And I bet you he's a fun guy to hang out with, but there's probably so many rules to hanging out with him because he just seems like he's going through some shit.
Who's the smart guy behind
Goodwill Hunting?
Goodwill Hunting.
Well, you know, they used to make fun of that, like, it's obviously Matt Damon, but then Ben Affleck comes and writes all these movies that, like, win Oscars and shit.
Right.
I don't know. And looking back, like, I love Goodwill Hunting.
Yeah.
But Ben Affleck is so good in that movie, too. It's, like, his funniest performance.
Oh, dude, he's the fucking best in it. Are you kidding me? That's a great movie.
Do you think it must have just been Matt Damon's idea, right? That movie? That's how Matt Damon gets away with being the star?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I can't. I want to rewatch it. God, that's a classic fucking movie.
Because.
Gus Van Sant directing this sucker?
Elliot Smith. It's got all the things, it's got every piece of it.
Robin Williams, are you kidding me?
It's just. I read a book about it. I can't remember which book it was. It must have been Down and Dirty Picture Show a long time ago. And
writes it down.
How many? It took years to get it made.
How dirty they get?
And they were still like 24 when it came out. And they've been working on it since they were fucking 20 or something.
That's a...
God. So Ben Affleck, has written movies since then?
Yeah, he did Gone, Baby Gone, he did Argo, and he did The Town.
He wrote Argo?
I don't know if he wrote them, but you're a director, you're still just picking every second of a movie apart and like rewriting it in some way.
He wrote Gone, Baby Gone, and The Town.
Well, those are the two best ones.
Okay.
And he directed Live by Argo?
Night. Yeah. I didn't see Live by Night because I don't like that era.
He directed Argo, The Town, Gone Baby Gone. I mean, these are all his movies. Whitney's favorite movie is The Town.
Whoa, let's watch The fucking Town. Maybe I'll do that tonight. I've never seen The Town. I've seen bits of it and I'm like, this scene is fucking awesome. And then I don't watch any of it. Clay, I had a Clay moment.
Yeah.
A couple days ago.
You forgot to wipe your ass and went to bed. What?
No. I was watching The Handmaiden. I've never seen The Handmaiden.
Is that Korean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never seen it.
And I was like, why did I never watch this? And I was watching it. I love it. But it took me 15 minutes to just accept that this took place in the 30s.
Oh,
and I'm
boy.
Just like, oh, I don't like the 30s.
Yep, exactly.
Just like, in general, I don't love how the 30s feel.
Yeah.
As a decade. Wow. But I got to just really commit. And then after about 10, 15 minutes, I decide, all right, this is the reality. Boy, if this was the 80s, though, ooh.
You know what I could do?
Or the 70s?
I could do Chinatown. What is Chinatown, 50s?
That's 30s.
30s?
That makes sense.
That does
It's either
sense.
The 20s or the 30s, right?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I think it's the 30s.
How about
I
can like do an Chinatown. Old like, gangster movie?
No, dude. It's
you don't like it?
No, I like it. It just takes me a lot of... It's like I know that I'm going to have a good time if I go surfing, but the thought of just, like, fucking having to do all that shit.
You got
to
wake up early.
We got to put on a goddamn wetsuit and, like... But as soon as I get out there, I'm going to enjoy it. That's how I feel with watching a movie that takes place in the 30s.
Honestly, it's kind of how I feel about watching movies lately.
Just in general.
Oh, yeah.
So...
YouTube's really poisoning my fucking peanut brain.
There's nothing for me on YouTube anymore.
I gotta turn YouTube off.
You're not looking.
Other than the Release the Schumacher cut that I watched a couple days ago.
You've done all your mojo stuff.
But I don't like the same shit that you like. Clay will watch just a guy like show you how to golf for 2 hours. I don't like that. I like the story of the script of The Mask 2.
Yeah.
Which we watched.
I watched other of his videos. Jamie Kennedy has a YouTube channel now, and he made a YouTube about how Son of the Mask got made. It was really interesting. He's really good.
YouTube. Yeah,
and then he made another one where he reacts to a Daily Beast article about like, why were you in this like fucking anti-abortion movie? And he goes, "Well, I'm a centrist, so like, I like to hear both sides." and I didn't really know the aspect of, like, you know, the fucking movie. I didn't know how bad it was going to be. And then you look at it, it's a fucking John Voight movie called Roe versus Wade.
Oh, he's in that?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And it's fucking trash. It looks like the most propagandist, like, garbage. Fucking, that's centrism, fucking, that's what really poisons your fucking brain.
Well, Clay, you gotta see both sides. You gotta see their side.
Oh, I guess I'm not really doing that, yeah.
Yeah.
Damn it. I'm sounding like a real leftist loon over here.
Imagine being a centrist. How funny that would be. You probably wake up every morning just like, blink, 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 another perfect night of sleep. There's nothing keeping me awake.
I think that's the perfect example of centrism, though. Of, like, doing the bidding of, like, these hard right shit and just going, I have no problem with it. I like to see everyone's side.
Mm-hmm.
I love to hear both sides.
Oh, yeah, while you're doing them a huge favor, being out in this, like, fucking
and they're paying
message.
You.
Yeah.
That's too bad. Because his videos where he talks about his career are really interesting. When he talks about being cast in Scream and how he wasn't supposed to be cast in Scream 2, but how they ended up writing him into the script and working with Wes Craven. Oh my god.
You see the
awesome.
Video where he says why Hollywood's dying?
I started watching that for 5 minutes and then I realized, like, this isn't what I was hoping it would be.
Oh, I like it.
What is it?
It's just him having the issues of, like, why, like, studio heads don't take risk on things. And, like, you know, he had a show in development about, like, divorce couples, like, competing to see who keeps what in their house. And then the show never went, but it took, like, 10 years. And the reason why it didn't go is because it's, like, divorce is such a touchy topic. And it's, like, when are you learning this? Like, we talked about this when I sold the show. Like,
oh, yeah.
How is this new information?
I mean, that's a very funny idea.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
If for like a game show.
Well, he's like, well, could it just be roommates?
Well, it is dying. They're not wrong. But Shiva Baby's doing well.
I still need to see it.
Well, actually, I don't even know. Like, is it doing well? Or
you
is
aren't
it just
really
like,
doing press for them.
Well, because it's a movie that my friends made, and people are actually having the opportunity to see it. That's like pretty rare.
Yeah.
And it is a movie that I feel like is broad enough for like our parents to watch it and like it.
Do you mean because there's girls in it? I don't think you can say that, dude.
Oh, because they're broads?
Yeah.
I think that's okay. Yeah, I love broad comedy. A couple yeah. broads. Oh, my God. A couple of broads?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And that's what it means, and I didn't mean to trigger.
I guess that's good, though.
Because I would get a little triggered.
I mean, I agree. I think that a couple of broads in a comedy is...
Right. Now you?
Right, when you say it. There's something about when Rod says it, though, that makes it feel kind of different.
Yeah.
You see a few broads in the comedies. It's pretty, all right,
come on,
it's good
dude.
Stuff. I don't know what the problem is.
All right, clip it. Someone clip it.
This is not...
Sitting around. Spread it like wildfire.
Gang, this is not... This isn't Twitch. You don't clip it. I guess I could still clip it.
Clip it.
Clip it, snip it, pull it, pop it, twist it. Full pull it.
Pull it. Your pants back on.
But no, I'm done with YouTube. That's the truth. I'm done with that. It's over for me.
Since you became a gamer?
I started being a gamer yesterday.
You on Twitch now?
Nah, I think I'm too late to the Twitch game. I thought about going on Twitch, but now I just play, like, I go on Instagram Live and I play my new songs.
I remember saying that about Bitcoin.
25 people, and that does it for me. I don't need Twitch.
Bitcoin's at like $8,000 or something. I'm too late to the game. No, well, so I get fucking 40,000.
So you'd be rich if you...
Well,
I mean, I...
That's the moral of the story.
I play video games to about 20 people.
Yeah, but you tell them when, right? Like, you plan it, and you're
not
like...
Not really. A lot of times, I just kind of go on.
Usually with me is I'll be like, I'll eat too much, and I'll be like, ugh, I feel sick as fuck, but I need to let my food digest a little bit before I go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go on Instagram Live and like...
You're loving the Instagram Live.
Fumble through a new song or whatever it is for about 20 minutes and then bail. The thought of having to like plan it out, that doesn't seem nice.
Instagram Live seems like the perfect platform. Mm-hmm. You can hop on whenever. People don't really get notifications, but if they're on Instagram, they'll get a little thing.
But yeah, even then, like, I'd never clicked on anybody's live.
Yeah, because it says your name right when it comes up.
It's
yeah.
very embarrassing.
It says yeah, like Clay Tatum join, and I don't want that.
Anybody I know, like, if anybody watches, everybody in the comments just is like, tell them to join!
Uh-huh.
You know? Which is...
Why can't you just turn that off?
I wish you could, but you can't.
Yeah, I don't know. Twitch is basically... To me, I think Twitch is basically the same thing, except you have more control over it.
Yeah, but I can tune in and it doesn't notify everyone.
You're right. But anyway, I have been doing that and it's been nice, I guess.
You like it? I'm sure people love it.
I think the 25 people who watch it do. Or 30. I have a rule of I'll stop doing it when 30 people... When it becomes less than 30 people.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
But who... Like, I've never watched an Instagram Live before. Ever.
I've watched a couple. I don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, why would you watch it?
I don't know.
I guess if, like, my favorite musician or comedian... If Zach Galifianakis went on Instagram Live, I'd probably check it out, see what he's doing.
See what he's up to?
Yeah.
What do you think he's up to?
Probably just like hanging out with his family.
Yeah.
Wherever he lives.
Have a meeting every day about the new movie that the director of fucking Napoleon Dynamite or something is doing.
Right.
Talking about that for a while.
Yeah.
What's that guy's name? Derek Hess or something?
Jared Hess. Apparently! Jared Hess made a documentary. He used to be Mormon. He made a documentary about like leaving the Mormon church or something on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was telling me about it the other day, but never even heard of it. I do remember hearing that he was Mormon, though.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Think about making Napoleon Dynamite as your first movie.
Oh, my God.
It must... Yeah, that's probably impossible. It's like you're never going to...
It's like a genuinely funny movie that's interesting and new.
Weird
and, like,
as fuck.
Weird and, like, yeah, yeah.
And was a huge hit.
Yeah.
You can never recreate it. It's... That's
well,
rough.
He all, and then what's crazy about him is like his style is so that is like his very specific style.
Well, he did it twice and then he left it, right?
No, all of his movies are that style.
Well,
Nacho Libre.
Well, yeah, that's one of
even them. Masterminds, that Zach Galifianakis movie that I love.
Yeah, I didn't really see the style in that.
I like Masterminds.
Me too. But it's like it came out like four... It clearly came out 4 years after they made it.
Yeah.
Because of who's involved, the time, the way it looks and feels, and then also just if you read about it, well, it like got held up in some weird legal shit.
It's definitely like a movie that feels... Even if it would have came out like 4 years before that, it feels way more like a 90s movie than it does...
Mm-hmm.
Like a mid-2000s movie or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Early 2010s or whatever.
And it's got the best joke in a feature film that I've seen in, I don't know, 6 years? You know what joke it is, Clay?
Never seen it, actually.
But I've told you the joke.
I've seen scenes in this movie.
Where she accidentally pricks her left breast with some roses,
yeah.
with some thorns.
Mm-hmm.
And there's blood, yeah. a little bit of blood.
Yeah.
And he goes, do you know where I'm going with this?
Uh-oh.
And he goes, oh, that's weird. And she goes, what? And he goes, there's blood. And she's like, well, yeah, sorry, I got pricked with a rose. And he goes, I thought there'd be milk. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good.
Why is
it's
not
good?
Why is it only not bad to you? All right, you've changed.
I got chips on my mind. I'm sorry.
Would you guys watch the Schumacher cut?
Yeah.
I guess.
You kidding me?
You've never even finished the Snyder cut.
I mean, watch Shiva Baby. That's some.
I'd see that in IMAX.
Shiva Baby is a movie that you would actually like.
I know, dude. I mean, you won't freaking shut up about it.
I'd watch any of these movies in IMAX.
Clay made fun of me just then. Rod, you need to defend me.
Yeah, defend him, man. Night, night, my man.
Clay, don't be nice to your friend, okay?
All right, Rod's harassing me. Wait, can you stand up
for Rod, me? You need to shut the fuck up. No, I'm going to kick you out of my house. What about the Cinerama Dome?
Oh, that?
Is that going to stay around?
No, dude. It's going to turn into luxury apartments.
No, somebody's going to buy the Cinerama Dome. Whether it's Disney or Netflix or Amazon.
Oh, Disney. Oh, my God. Yes, dude.
Don't you think one of them is going to buy it?
Yes, dude.
They've got to buy it.
Or, like, because it's, like, iconic. It's
iconic,
so cool.
Landmark. I thought that about Amoeba, though.
This is what you're going to do. Buy the Cinerama Dome. Put some Mickey ears on it. Buy Scooby-Doo. And do the Scooby-Doo universe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the
Cinerama Dome has been there for decades. Like, Amoeba's only been there for, it's like less than 15 years or something.
No.
It didn't, I thought it opened like 2000 something.
If they turn them, if y'all are wrong, and they do turn them into apartments, do we all get a place there?
Yeah, we all got to move in.
Amoeba's been around since maybe the late 90s or early 2000s.
The one maybe in Berkeley.
No, because I moved here in 2006 and it was here then. And then I was just talking to a friend of mine whose dad built the Amoeba on the Sunset Strip, or on Sunset, and he said when he was a little kid he lived in the parking lot of where Amoeba is right now while they were building it in a trailer that his dad lived in as a contractor while he was visiting LA. And so that means it must have been at least like the early 2000s.
That makes sense.
Well,
so less than 20 years, though.
Maybe, yeah. But who knows? Maybe it's been there for 40 years. We don't know.
There's no way to find out.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
It's just crazy to think of that, like, area without any. So now what? You drive.
Dude.
And now it's just going to be Jack in the Box?
The iconic Jack in the Box, yeah.
Jack in the Box in the Free People store.
Oh, or that one place where they had the open mic outside. Or something.
I think it was the Free People store that had an open.
Wasn't
mic.
There a comedy thing outside the Urban Outfitters?
Oh, I didn't know
that pharmacy.
Was there a comedy thing? I mean, yeah.
Someone took me there to see a fucking comedy thing that I had to sit through.
Really?
Yes.
Must have been me. I don't remember even going.
I remember going to a comedy show there.
I know Billy Corgan played a show there once.
Yeah, it was some comedy thing. And then there, you know.
Owner of the National Wrestling Alliance, Billy Corgan?
Really? Is that true?
Yeah.
Tell us about this wrestling show you watched with Bunny Man.
WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, WrestleMania is,
tell
of course.
Tell us about this new program.
WrestleMania is, of course, the biggest wrestling show produced by the WWE every year.
World a two-night Environment?
No. World Wrestling Entertainment.
Worldwide Environment.
Oh, okay.
And it's been going on this maybe the 37th year, 38th year.
And that's how old my dad is. Crazy.
I was about to say that's older than my dad.
Oh.
And Bad Bunny was there, and he wrestled, and he actually did a really great job.
Now, he seems like a nice guy.
He definitely seems like a good guy.
Seems like a guy who you could talk to him about anything.
Was Good Bunny taken?
Yeah.
What about Big Bunny?
Big Bunny.
Is
too much, too much like Bug Bunny.
What about Bug Bunny, and it's just a bunny mixed with a bug?
That's actually a good idea.
Now, have we seen the new Space Jam
trailer?
Okay,
Rod's writing it down like it's his idea. Interesting.
I am writing it. I did write it down.
Have we seen the new Space Jam trailer?
I'm going to go ahead and mail that to myself.
I thought it was really smart. I thought it was interesting to go with the drama now. Take the drama version of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like the name. I don't like the Goon Squad.
What was it before?
The
Monstars?
The Monstars.
Yeah.
The Goon Squad versus the Toon Squad. Yeah. I don't like the rhyme.
I thought it was really interesting.
I like the Monstars way better.
No, I like this one.
I gave my... Oh, so go ahead, Cliff.
I like it. I just it's time for Space Jam to go serious and not funny.
What did you think about the Droogs in the movie?
The Droogs? The Droogs. You know.
The Droogs from Clockwork Orange.
The Droogs are in it. Also.
No. I saw Pennywise is back there.
The Mask is in it.
The
Mask?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, he's on the sidelines.
The Droogs are in the sidelines. I don't know if they're rooting on the Toon Squad or the Goon Squad.
Okay, well, all right.
That was a Kubrick dying.
Give myself chills thinking about this the other day in the bathtub. LeBron and the Toon Squad. They're losing.
Yeah.
And they don't know what to do. But then a spaceship flies in. Who gets off the ship? Michael Jordan. He saves the day. I'm getting emotional just thinking about it right now.
Yeah, well, you're a sports guy.
Would that make you lose your lid?
Yeah, I think I'd flip my lid.
And he's with Batman.
Batman's with him?
Yeah.
Ben Affleck Batman or cartoon Batman?
Christian Bale. And Heath Ledger.
Digital Heath Ledger is there.
No, Heath Ledger filmed this before he died. Clay, would you lose your lid?
Oh, of course, my man.
Every time Warner Brothers makes a movie, just in case they are going to make a new Space Jam, they ask you to do a little cameo.
Oh, yeah.
There's the mask right there.
Do you know?
Whoa, Jim Carrey's in it.
Yeah, Jim Carrey's in it right back there.
Jeez. Guy.
That's, I don't know. That's like a weird... Do you guys know why the Iron Giant is a big deal?
Why is he in all the movies?
Just really
now?
Want him to be a big deal?
Do y'all remember seeing that at all?
Nope. I like the movie.
Rod,
I like the movie.
My memory of Iron Giant, I think, is you or no? It's our friend Matt telling me a story about watching Iron Giant with our friend Jeremy and his little brother stabbing him with a pencil. Never saw it. I remember maybe seeing clips of it and thinking it felt like really sad.
It's a little bit sad.
And it's a Steven Spielberg creation, or?
Brad Bird, I think.
And he's canceled.
Brad Bird's canceled?
Somebody's canceled from that world, right? The Pixar man?
I think the guy who's canceled is actually just in charge of Disney.
What the hell? The dude who, like, directed Finding Nemo?
Yeah, I think he's just in charge of Disney.
Oh, okay. Well... Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember Iron Giant being that big of a deal, but maybe it's just like something that critics loved and that like nobody, you know. But I don't know. If I don't feel like kids nowadays even watch like cartoons that are drawn.
Well, I don't know what the kids are doing now.
One thing I will say that is smart about the new Space Jam is like little kids, I don't feel like give a fuck about the fucking Space Jam. And then little tiny tunes run around.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I think that when we were kids, we would watch Tiny Toons. I mean, we would watch like Looney Tunes. It was on TV.
But this is something I was talking about with my dad. Our childhoods are more similar to our parents' childhoods than kids who are 10 years younger than us are to our childhoods because of like all of the new things that they get to experience compared to what we had.
Yeah.
Like, Looney Tunes was still, like, the most popular cartoon ever when we were a kid.
Yeah.
And it's because there wasn't a lot of shit. There, like, still somehow wasn't a lot.
Maybe episodes of Scooby-Doo and, like, I just sit through.
Yeah.
You just would watch anything that was a cartoon.
Yeah.
New or old. It didn't really matter to you?
Mm-mm.
Like, I have no... There's no reason I know who Jabberjaw is. I don't need to know that.
No.
Like, it's like the Flintstones?
Yeah, I don't need
Flintstones
to.
Does not hold up either.
It's boring.
I watch the Flintstones now, and I'm like, fuck this shit. Same with the Jetsons. I don't like either of those cartoons. I love Scoob and the Gang.
I don't even like... Hey, I always hate Scooby-Doo.
Clay.
Well, like a pup the thing name. About Scoob is that it's...
I was always more of a pup-named guy myself.
But I also like when Batman came on Scooby-Doo.
Well, that's the thing is I did have the Batman VHS of Scooby-Doo, and so I was watching that. And I think, honestly, that's probably just what I liked about Scooby-Doo.
The other, like, Scooby-Doos without them were the Globetrotters. I didn't care.
Nah. But I was a huge, big pup named guy.
Pup name is really funny.
And people that hate Scrappy-Doo, I'm like, give me more Scrappy.
Who? Show me these people.
There's people who hate Scrappy-Doo.
What? Who? Where? Who? Who do you hang out with? Where do you go when I'm not here?
Oh, my God. Yeah, Nick Kroll?
Nick Kroll.
He hates
Nick Kroll hates Scrappy-Doo? Nick Kroll hates
Scrappy-Doo?
No, I don't. Just kidding.
Nick Kroll's done. I'm going to whoop his ass.
Nick Kroll and Andy Samberg, they hate Scrappy-Doo.
They're fucking stupid.
They're always talking about fucking Scrappy-Doo.
They're,
you know,
so
what?
Fucking
when
stupid.
This pandemic is over and we hang out with Nick Kroll and Andy Samberg,
where they're on the podcast,
we should whoop their ass about this Scrappy-Doo shit. Because they're all, I'm in a text chain with them where they're just talking shit on Scrappy-Doo.
You don't throw your fucking phone away?
I've broken so many phones.
I did,
and then I always say, what about that pup named? And they go, well, that's great. That we,
you know, love. How many times I trip over your bag of phones?
Broken phones?
Yeah. Have you seen this new Suicide Squad trailer?
I did watch it. I don't remember a lick of it other than there's a shark.
It has Louis C.K.'s bag of dicks joke in it. What year is it?
What's the suck a bag of dicks?
Yeah.
Does he say that in this?
Yeah, in the trailer. Let me see if I can find it.
Is that, and that's a thing that's like a very early 2010s thing.
Oh,
I feel,
yeah.
Like bag of dicks.
Suck a bag of dicks. I don't know. Just suck a bag of dicks.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just like a bunch of dicks in a bag. You just describe a thing enough and people will laugh at it.
Hmm. You should bring that back, Whit, when you do stand up again.
You know, I was thinking about watching do like an hour of stand up the other day and just like really fucking being excited is Kyle Kinane. Though. And he's sort of helped invent that style of like just describing a moment.
Uh-huh.
And then he got copied so hard.
They call you Peacemaker. Wait, is this in another language? Sorry, gang. I don't know.
No, that sounded like English.
That was English. They call you Peacemaker.
Oh.
That's
to
John
Cena.
I'm
wearing headphones, gang. I'm sorry.
John Cena, the former professional wrestler.
It literally, from the headphones, I'm like hearing it, like kind of like a echo of it, and it literally sounds like a different language.
But also, the phone is 2 inches from your face, so you are,
I'm
definitely
so sorry. Piece with all my heart. I don't care how many men, women, and children I need to kill to get it. I thought you were the crazy one. I am. I don't know why I'm looking for it. Maybe I can open it in later. Who cares? Oh, God, sorry, gang.
Whatever, I'll see you open.
I'm going to pause it. I'm going to
see you just
sorry.
Basically.
I'm so sorry, gang. It was a Red Band trailer that it was in. Check this out. Invitation for you to cough without covering your mouth. What's the plan? How the hell am I supposed to know? You're the leader. You're supposed to be decisive. And I've decided that you should eat a big bag of dicks.
Well, that's awesome sauce. You know what that is?
That's boss. Yeah, have you debated? Have you really debut this new thing?
Well, this is my new thing. That trailer for the new Suicide Squad Part 2, that's boss sauce. It looks like boss sauce.
So, gang, let me know what you think about
really
this
awesome. They absolutely nailed it.
I don't love this guy.
That's a cool dude.
Oh.
Yeah, so me and Rob were talking about how we're going to be seeing 3 movies a week. I can tell by shooting this last, me and Clay just worked together for about a month on something.
Yeah.
And I can tell for certain it's going to be hard to get Clay to go to the first movie outing.
Oh, yeah.
Based on his overall demeanor,
yeah,
being social with people.
Oh, yeah.
And we're hanging out unmasked with Clay right now. It seems like we're pulling literal teeth. So there's no way all this Hooters at the casino, Hooters doing revamping.
I love talking about it.
Revamping Power Violence at the old theater.
Yeah.
Going to see movies, to the casino. There's not a way in hell that Clay's going to be involved in that.
Clay, I'm signing up for AMC A-List, and I'm going to see 3 movies a week at the AMC in Burbank.
How much is A-List?
I think it's like $19 a month.
Right now, like it's a financial thing. And
might,
not,
be $20, might be $20 a
Clay's
month.
Searching for an excuse of why he can't be a part
That's
of
That's like
this.
2 movies a month.
To be honest with you, if I can't see it in the Americana, who cares?
Well, the
Pacific Theater's
has
closing.
To be bought by AMC, right?
Yeah, it has to be.
Who else is going to take over Pacific Theater's? Rave?
What is there? Regal?
Does that even exist anymore?
Regal?
I think Regal's done, so.
Is Regal done, too?
I think Edwards Cinema is around. There's one of the... It's either Edwards Cinema or Regal that also went out of business.
I don't know.
Just do fucking a one-off Hollywood theater and put it at all these fancy malls in L.A.
I just hate the idea of having to go to Burbank for a movie.
But Burbank is pretty close to you.
No, it's just like the actual theaters.
Because there's three theaters right next to each other.
Yeah. And you don't remember what number is which. Like, I think if you know the 16, you know that one. That's
the
like
16's
the
big one.
Remember on my birthday a few years ago when we bought, CJ bought everybody tickets for my birthday to see one of the Avengers movies.
Uh-huh.
But CJ has a thing with just hanging out in general to where he likes to be able to lay down in order to hang out.
Right.
So he only will, it's pretty hard to get him to see movies unless he's able to like choose a seat that reclines all the way back. And so he bought everybody tickets for that kind of theater, but it meant that nobody could sit next to each other, which kind of like defeated the whole purpose of doing that for my birthday party.
I also remember like we were on our way back from somewhere and we wanted to go see Killing of a Sacred Deer and it just came out. And we were like, all right, cool. The AMC fucking 7 has it, or what the fuck that theater is. We go in, we figure out which one it is. We find out it's one that's on the third floor. And we go there. And they go,
I'm just now remembering.
And I just go, hey, we're here for this movie that we already bought tickets to. What screen is it? Because I don't see it on the marquee. Because I don't think I'm at the right theater, maybe. And they go, oh, no, this is the theater. We just don't have it yet.
We don't have it. They didn't bring it to us.
I was like, no, you do have it because I bought tickets for it. They go, no, we don't have it. What, the movie that you bought tickets for? We don't have it.
Yeah, we're going to get it later.
Somebody had, they still haven't got, the person who was supposed to bring them the hard drive or whatever still hadn't brought it to them.
AMC, you're a mess.
You know how many directors out there right now who are like running around copying Yorgos Lanthimos? Who is he copying?
Like a Brazon type thing, you know, Robert, but I can't say his name right, but like, just that like really stilted, like, or Aki Kaurismäki, you know him? It's like a more absurdist Aki Kaurismäki. Do you know about this? Let me give you a list of movies. I don't know.
That's a Swedish director?
If it's in a different language, I won't be able to figure out that it's supposed to be still
Finnish
and weird.
Director. Man Without a Past, you seen that? I got that on DVD. This is one of the rare movies I got on DVD for some reason.
Is that Harry Dean Stanton?
You're talking about the Elvis guy, right?
You said what to me?
They make like an Elvis movie?
Yeah, he kind of. It's not like an Elvis. It's like these guys. Where are they from?
The Red Elvises?
No. Fucking.
Are you
it's
thinking
like,
about?
It's, like,
ain't
it's
ain't
a fake band.
A
I ain't nothing but a. It's Leningrad Cowboys.
Right.
Well, I'm just saying, how many directors out there right now went and saw Yorgos Lanthimos movie?
You ever seen those Cowboys?
Oh yeah. Love those guys.
Jim Jarmusch is in this movie. He was friends with.
And they thought, you know what? I don't have like any social skills whatsoever, and I have no life experience. I think I can really tap into this freaking Yorgos guy and like sort of suck the spirit out of his movies and apply them to my own.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to use it at the excuse of, but I'm weird as like the reason for why it's okay that I'm doing this. How many people out there right now do you think are getting 40 picture deals? Clay, I'm talking to you.
I'm listening to you.
I mean, 40 pictures is a lot of pictures.
Okay, 2 picture deals.
2-picture deal?
Yeah.
A 2-picture deal would be
Do they do that
nice.
Anymore? Do they do that anymore?
Don't they just... They force you to direct a Marvel movie.
If you have a hit indie movie that is funny, Marvel movie's next bet.
They're like, we're going to have to force you to make a few Marvel movies.
Now, Clay, if Civil Dead is a hit, and they say, we want you to direct the freaking Rocket from Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Would you do it?
Who's the Rocket's other?
The little raccoon.
Rocket.
Of course, dude.
Rocket
and raccoon movie. Are you kidding me?
All right, we're making the group Rocket and Groot movie.
Who do you think I am? Where do you think I am in my life where I would turn down this amount of money?
But you can't have anything to do with the script.
I don't give a fuck. I don't want to have anything to do with the movie. Just give me the money.
You also don't. You don't really direct anything except maybe some of the parts that are supposed to be funny.
I get to direct. I feel
the
like
did
I
you
get
watch
to...
the video of how the action scenes in Marvel movies are made?
No,
no.
Oh my god, this is awesome! I can't wait to show you guys. There's a video that was trending on Twitter of how it's made, which is a lot of times before they even have a director, they've already directed the entire action sequence. So
which is like half the movie.
Yeah. So that big sequence at the end of the Avengers, where these like Avengers assemble,
uh-huh.
That was like a thing that had already been CGI made. Without any of the real actors or like, it's not like the final.
So like a board meeting.
It's like an animatic of the entire scene, exactly how it will be before there's even a script, like a finalized script.
After
like
making
vision.
A movie, I'll tell you one thing right now. I want to be that. I want to make those movies now.
Where
you
it's know? Already just made.
The Coen Brothers, fucking Bong Joon-ho.
Wes
Anderson makes a cartoon of his movie. Before he makes it like a fully like animated animatic.
Oh my god, that's what that's what we were talking about on set is like if we had the money to write and make a movie every year where it was 9 months of pre-production and 3 months of shooting.
No, my thought was like, hey, it's like, you know, it's like the Werner Herzog type thing, like storyboards is for like scaredy cats. And I want to go in and I want to find the magic. I want to run the scene. I want to find the magic with the camera. No, fuck that shit. I want to like have everything. I want the movie made before I make it.
Well, that's how I think you got it kind of, unless the story works with like that like kind of loose just like finding it in the moment feeling vibe, you can't get away with that anymore because nowadays movies are getting harder and harder to make with less and less money and less time.
Oh boy, you know, but here's the thing, I'm editing the movie now. Guess how many takes I did at most? Like fucking 5 or 6. It's like where I capped off.
I mean, my biggest moment in the whole movie, I think I was allowed to do it 3 times.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
of light.
No, because we were filming the ending of the movie that has to do a certain time of the day. And before we did that, we had to do 3 shots to have the light be like matching the thing that we're about to do. And we only have so much time. And we only allowed you 3 takes, which is like my thing really. All right, we got it. Just because the takes weren't like being that different, you were like emphasizing different things. But it's like you want to stay there all day and do it. But with this, it's like with filmmaking, when you're making movies to other people, guess what? There's tons of rules, like the 12-hour rule, the fucking you have to like, which is like it makes sense, but like the amount of time people fiddle with stuff on set. We're just sitting around and watch people fiddle with crap. I don't like.
Also, now, I've made a bunch of movies, and I've for the last however many like 5-6 years, this has been my belief. But like, anytime someone's a bad actor in a movie, it's absolutely not their fault.
Right.
It's never their fault. It's always the director or the production's fault. It's like you could get any terrible actor. I mean, CJ is in our movie.
He's the worst actor I've ever seen.
Worst actor, admittedly. CJ's like, I'm literally the worst actor.
We
in the
showed
world.
Him like his worst takes.
We show him his worst takes. Clay edits it into the movie, but we like are figuring out how to make it work. Clay edits it into the movie. Easily, so far, funniest part of the movie.
Right.
Is CJ. So anytime there's a bad performance in a movie, it's absolutely not the actor's fault. Unless right. the person is like a giant movie star and it's clear they're just like phoning it in and
or
nobody
can
say
they're
anything
taking,
to them.
Or they're like committing to something that they shouldn't commit to.
Like what?
You ever seen like, you remember Okja? Remember, yeah. What's his name from...
Jake Gyllenhaal?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
I like him in Okja. I think it's funny.
I think you took it too far.
This is
Jake.
But this is where I think me and you, Rod, are different than Clay. Is I like the... And this is why me and Clay make a good team. Is right. like if I like the 110% bordering annoying,
uh-huh.
whereas Clay is all the way on the other side of that.
Right. So well, I like people taking
me
risk
in the middle,
here, but like my man, I just, whatever you're doing, you're not doing it for me, I'll tell you that much.
I like that. It's reminiscent of Ace Ventura.
It is, but, like, in the movie, I can't stop thinking, like, all right, you're, like...
Listen, every movie, every comedy movie can have one absolute cartoon character.
Well, and this one's...
Or two cartoon characters.
Well, but the opposite of that, or the same version of that, but with an opposite opinion, is when a really hot actor guy... Uh-huh. Decides to be Southern white trash.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, this is huge. But often he's British, and it's just him doing like a, well, I do think I told you not to be driving down this road. And he's like not wearing a shirt, and he's smoking a cigarette.
Where they're like, they're nailing what they want to do, but in your head, you're watching it, you go, like, Jake, you're nailing it. Whatever you're doing, you're nailing it. It's just like, it's not for me.
But it is for me.
And it is for you.
Clay is thinking, this is for wit.
Yes.
That movie has a very funny Southern accent kind of out of nowhere. Edge of Tomorrow, Live, Die, Repeat. There's a woman who has like a Southern accent, and it's
true.
I don't know who it is.
Man, I haven't seen that. Dude, that movie's rocking. When was the last time you saw that, Clay?
I saw it a long time when it came out, but when it came out, I saw it like 4 times. Not because I really wanted to, but just because like people were watching it around me a lot. And I loved it each time it played.
Talk about a movie that.
Well, that has the Tom Cruise. I don't know if that's a Doug Liman thing. I don't know how
it is. What?
Like if it's the reason why it's so good, it's because of like him. I think he's a great director. But I have a theory that Tom Cruise loves movies so much that any movie that he's in, him producing the movie makes the movie so much better.
Yeah.
Because he's a perfectionist, which I think Doug Liman might get a lot of credit for. And or if like anyone else made a movie with Tom Cruise that director gets say.
Well, he's like such a perfectionist with movies, and he knows exactly who to hire.
Oh, that's another great person. Tom Cruise. I hate him in most movies.
Really?
Yes. I think...
That's insane.
His big, like...
Oh, my God.
Clay. The way he acts...
You're wrong for that.
Clay, that's insane.
Color of Money? I hate him in The Color of Money.
But you're wrong for that.
The way he acts big, I don't like, even though I know he's nailing it, and I know everyone else who's watching it thinks he's nailing it. But to me, he has a thing that... He plays a super confident guy, but I can never buy it.
I get what you're saying. When Tom Cruise is in his 20s...
He does his big like Jack Nicholson smile.
He does a Jack Nicholson thing where you can tell he doesn't have any friends or something, or he like is like really lonely. But
sorry,
he's like
this episode's going long, but this,
he's projecting this confidence that isn't super believable until he gets to Rain Man, and then in Rain Man,
he's perfect.
But in Rain Man, he's playing like a guy who needs to act like he has everything going on when he like kind of doesn't. He's
but in Color of Money, he plays the Jack Nicholson part big, where he goes, yeah. He goes, oh, yeah, yeah, when he's like celebrating winning a fucking pool game. And it's like you, behind those eyes, you can't see a friend in sight. Like, you know.
There's a funny thing in Mission Impossible, out of whatever the last one was, where it's like you have to believe that Tom Cruise is in love with this woman.
Right.
And you're like, I don't fucking buy that shit.
Yeah. He has that problem. He has a problem where he can't.
What movie is it?
He can't
in
be perfectly
Mission Impossible,
human.
The newest one. You like have to buy that he's like.
Oh yeah, no. Remember we saw the one like a few Mission Impossibles ago.
Yeah.
Which those.
They're great. They're so good.
Those movies are incredible, but it becomes unbelievable when he has to just be like having a beer with his friend.
I think okay, and
that's
another
like
thing
not believable
is I don't think he's that great in Eyes Wide Shut, but it works perfectly.
No,
for
you're
the,
that's
you know
wrong.
It works perfectly for the movie, like because the movie is so works on dream logic, and like he has a detached, he's emotionally detached in a lot of places, and. I think it works for the movie completely, but like I can never I always see him acting in that movie.
Well, I don't care if I see someone acting. I like for me at the end of the day, Tom Cruise is a good example of it. Is like if somebody's just making a choice and rolling with it, I'm like happy to see an actor just like act. acting.
I mean, heads up, I mean, Eyes Wide Shut is one of my favorite movies, and I love him in it. But he has a quality about him that makes him seem like he's never experienced real life before. He's only been on a movie set. He has that quality in him. And I think it works for the movie because the movie has a certain detachment to it. But I always – he's the one actor where, like – Dustin Hoffman, every time he's in a movie, I feel like you're really living this. Like, you are really this guy. But in for some reason, I can't buy him in really any movie. Except for Mission Impossible 1. I don't know what Brian De Palma did. But
you can't even buy him in Edge of Tomorrow?
Edge of Tomorrow, yeah, I think so. I don't know, he's just like... There's just a certain... I mean, my critique of him is, like, such on a nitpicky level where it's just, like, there's he just has a quality about him. Like, it's like a Michael Jackson syndrome. When you see Michael Jackson do something, you can instantly tell he's never left his house.
It's hard
alone.
To think about him, like, turning on the shower to take a shower. So, but to your favorite actors are, like, an Elliot Gould.
Yes. Dustin Hoffman or... Yeah.
Well, even Dustin Hoffman, though, he's always swinging for the fences. Dustin Hoffman, with a lot of his parts, he's definitely playing a funny little guy.
Yeah.
Captain Hook is definitely guy.
Yeah.
I like an actor who goes, oh, that's what you're doing? Yeah. All right. let's watch that.
I don't like that. It's just sometimes.
I'll try that out.
Jake Gyllenhaal and Okja, you go, oh, you're doing that? You just don't totally buy it as a human. You buy it as an actor doing a role that he's having a lot of fun with.
Yeah, he's having a lot of fun.
I love to see someone having fun.
But that's the thing, is I like the having the fun part. I can feel it.
Somebody who's
having fun with a part, Hugh Jackman, once he gets to the...
Hugh Jackman is great. I love Hugh Jackman.
Once he gets
Jackman.
To the solo Wolverine world.
Oh, yeah. Hugh Jackman is great.
He's having a lot of fun. Yeah. And then he's in that movie, I think it's called Bad Education on HBO. Oh, he's having fun with that part as well.
Never seen that.
I just like watching these guys having some fun.
Yeah.
Bob Odenkirk, when he's doing Better Call Saul, show I've never seen, other than some episodes with my dad. I'm like...
Well, you've seen him in Breaking Bad.
Oh, I saw all of Breaking Bad. He's having some fun doing that, too. Freaking Joaquin Phoenix in Joker.
Or literally anything.
Literally anything. Yeah, good point. Do you like Joaquin Phoenix?
Love Joaquin Phoenix. And I buy him in everything he does. I never have.
And a lot of that is because you know he's had a real life, and right. because you don't know a single thing about him. I don't know a lick about him other than he had a pretty
I think
hard
what
childhood.
It really is like, if I can imagine the actor drove himself home that night, then I don't have that problem.
That does help. Yeah, if you can picture the actor like making themselves like some coffee in the morning.
Right.
It really does help me like
that's
want to
the
root
only
for
problem.
Them as an actor.
Yeah, try to think movie. Of Tom Cruise like making an egg.
Yeah. But then again, that doesn't really work with Jake Gyllenhaal because he drove himself home from set and I, for some reason, didn't care for him.
And he's even more Hollywood than Tom Cruise. His dad's famous DP.
Yeah, I don't
grew up in the
you
industry.
You always tell me about this
And
stuff
then Tom
like
Cruise,
this.
He was just a normal kid until he was like in his early 20s.
Yeah.
That's the craziest part about Tom Cruise.
What was his first movie?
He was a normal guy until he got cast in Taps, which was a movie in the early 80s.
Here's another one. Wait, why did I even go into this? Because I can never remember his name. He plays the hippie in Apocalypse Now. He directed...
Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper makes big choices, but I guess it doesn't really make sense because he's just amplifying who he already is.
He's already crazy and
but he's
like Nicolas Cage.
That's true. When he plays crazy, I always buy it and I want to see more of it. I love him so
much. But that's the way to go. Like, if you just got stuck being an actor, you're not a director, you're not a writer.
Right.
Be crazy guy. That's how to have fun.
But
and then have
Hopper does all of it.
Have a private personal life. But like, just to go nuts, just to like be a guy who you're like, oh, that Whitmer Thomas, he's insane. And then you have like a healthy relationship and a wife and some kids and stuff. But the thing is it never works that way. It's always like, ooh, that guy, oh yeah, he's crazy.
Yeah, you're going
to
have to be
actually miserable. And
Dennis Hopper blows himself up in the middle of Texas. You know about this?
No.
Richard Linklater has a really good video about this. they're like screening like Out of Blue or something. Out of the Blue, his like punk movie that he made, which I can't find. I need to fucking download. He talked about how he screened the movie in Austin, Texas one time, and Richard Linklater was just in the audience. And he goes, "All right, cool." And he screened a video afterwards of him talking, but it was so avant-garde and weird that people walked out. And the people that stayed, he goes, "All right, gang, we're all going to hop on a bus, and we're going to go to this, like, fucking rodeo." They're like, okay, so all these weird people that decided to stick around through his, like, avant-garde, like, Q&A afterwards got on the thing, and he goes, "All right, cool, I'm going to blow myself up, but I'm going to have bombs all the way around me, and them going off in such an order and way, it creates a vacuum, and whoever's in that vacuum is safe." I don't know how it works, whatever, but he did it, and he blew himself up, and then the next day he had to go to rehab or something. But he was like a fucking madman.
Oh yeah, I mean.
But then you watch Apocalypse Now, and you're like, "This is a great movie." And then when he comes up, you're like, "Now this movie's really cooking."
Well, yeah, and he like refused to listen to anything Francis Ford Coppola said. He only wanted to do his own thing. Everybody on set was trying to impress Marlon Brando.
Yeah, Marlon Brando had his own.
Marlon Brando had the cue cards all over the place.
Oh yeah,
Like, sometimes people are like, actors aren't artists, and I'm like, yeah, you're right. They're just fucking people who want to goof off. Like, they just like want to goof, like have some focused goof off
time. I don't know though, but sometimes there's a person that has it, and they just fuck.
But don't you think? Like, sometimes I think about Joaquin Phoenix, who seems like such a serious guy. Yeah. I don't know a fucking lick about this guy. Other than that, he dated my friend one time, and the way that he broke up with her is that he was like, "Come, this just isn't really working, don't you think?" And she was like, "I don't know, I really like you." And he goes, "Yeah, but, I mean, come on, right? I mean, look at me." And she was like, "Yeah, you're right." That's how she said it was just like a very honest and appropriate way to break up with someone.
You know what my favorite thing in the whole world is the David Letterman interview after The Master. Remember that?
I don't remember the post, I'm Still Here.
So he did the I'm Still Here thing, and David Letterman thought it was an absolute fucking joke. Like, get off the stage. Like, you don't come into my show and try to prank me. And then afterwards, he did fucking The Master, which is, like, unquestionably just, like, incredible work of art as, an actor. And David Letterman, he was so amused by that. About having such an idea of him in his mind. And then he did, like, a fucking incredible movie. And Joaquin Phoenix is so embarrassed by this, like, that. I don't think that he is, but he gives off the impression that he was embarrassed by that movie.
I think both of him and Casey Affleck are embarrassed because of what happened while making that movie.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I know that Casey Affleck has said, like, "I regret wholeheartedly, I regret, like, even making that movie in the first place." But when me and you saw it in the theater, we loved every second of it.
Well, I mean, I thought it was interesting. I've never rewatched it.
Yeah, me neither, but I remember thinking, like, this is awesome. This is really funny.
Yeah.
He poops on a person. Remember when he poops on a person who's sleeping?
Well, Casey Affleck did other things while people were sleeping, so.
Right, and that's why they regret making it, I imagine. But yeah, I think that all these freaking fancy ass. When I think about Joaquin Phoenix, I'm like, this guy's who's probably had a hard childhood in some capacity, and now he makes one movie every few years, and he like commits wholeheartedly to just like goofing off, in like the most committed way. It's the same shit with I don't know. Like, you listen to freaking some ridiculous, stupid ass metalcore band. It's just like they just wanted to make a fucking song where they like have to goof off as much as possible.
Well, some bands don't.
No, I know what you mean, but
right. I've only ever liked a metalcore band that's kind of funny.
Horse the Band.
Yeah. Well,
Horse the Band or like Chariot.
Right.
Chariot seemed like a band where they were just having fun.
Don't take it so seriously.
You know how many times we saw Horse the Band in high school?
Oh, that was huge.
I saw him like three times.
That remember there was like a their keyboard player? People would always yell Napoleon Dynamite at him.
Well, it's his fucking fault. And he looked just go, like
shut
him.
Shut the fuck up! He did really mad.
He looked just like him, and you dressed like him too.
Yeah.
He wears a Vote for Pedro shirt every day.
He would wear like short
he
shorts.
He basically did. He honestly looks basically
like
did.
In retrospect, we should see what he looks like.
Because I remember looking at their MySpace and seeing that they're from Hollywood. And I go, what does that mean?
They're from Hollywood, California.
Yeah.
That's insane. Oh, yeah, dude. I'm looking at him right now, and he looks exactly like... He looks exactly like him.
Yeah, it's his fucking fault.
Yeah, no, he looks exactly like him. That's very clearly... you look too much like Napoleon Dynamite to really complain about it.
You don't look like this.
They're really from Lake Forest, California.
This could be Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, it's his fucking fault. And he's playing the fucking keyboard in a fucking...
And some short shorts and band. A funny 80s sweater.
Yeah, it's your fucking fault, dude. You walk right into that fucking...
You know, you're the one that stepped on that. I used to wear... Rake. Remember when we would play in high school and I would always wear those like shirts from the 70s with the big collars? Yeah. Everybody called me Eric Foreman. And I was okay with it. I was happy anybody was paying attention to me, to be
honest. You ever watched that 70s show?
Yeah, seen it.
Have you ever seen anything more perfectly casted?
No. And also, just like, what a watchable... It's kind of crazy what they were able to pull off with all of those different characters. And it's multi-camera, but it doesn't feel like too forced in any kind of way.
No! Eric Foreman, who played him?
Topher Grace.
Best thing he's ever done in his life.
And you know how he was cast?
Uh-uh.
The casting director's like relative was in a school play in San Diego, and Topher Grace was in that play, and then they called him and were like, would you want to do this?
Oh, really?
He was just in high school.
That's insane.
Yeah.
How could that ever possibly happen?
You know what the hardest thing about that was movie is?
Well, he had to audition and shit, but right. Still, he got it.
Getting Ashton Kutcher to take his fucking trucker hat off for one fucking second.
His Von Dutch hat?
Yeah, his Von Dutch.
Was there ever
is there a way that... Listen, dude. I know, like, you are, like, a big actor now, but can you take your Von Dutch off for one fucking second so we can film a scene of the show?
Was there ever a moment where you thought Ashton Kutcher like... I remember thinking he was very funny, but I do think... I remember being, like, very aware of how he was dressed at all times and thinking, like, he kind of looks like an idiot.
Yeah, you know? I mean, he plays a very good idiot.
Yeah, for sure.
Anything more than that, though, is maybe a little too much for
him. And now he's just, like, a normal guy who's, like, known for being an investor and shit.
Yeah.
He invests in startups.
He's got business brain. He sucks.
And now he's, like, super rich.
Yeah.
And it's all he cares about, right, is, like, these... Businesses, yeah,
I think so. He's got business brain and it's lame.
Yeah. Fucking hate business brain.
He could have just been like a funny actor.
Who has business brain? You just don't tell anybody about
don't,
it.
Yeah, don't let us know you got business brain. We don't.
But he's always trying to give advice on the internet.
Yeah, we don't need that shit.
Where do you learn that? Where do you become that guy?
You have a dad that
tells you about it?
Tells you that shit.
Let's do commentary for Spread.
Uh-huh. Oh my God, I'd love to. Spread is made by this guy. I think his name's David McKenzie or Chris McKenzie.
That's the craziest. Sorry, this episode's going for so long, thing, but
yeah, we should probably end the episode, should we?
Well, how hold on. Let's been? Talk about Spread one time.
For one time.
I have to go piss though.
Because hold on. Well, this is the last thing we'll say. Oh, David McKenzie is like an amazing director. He's directed nothing but good movies, and then Spread. His first movie is Spread.
His first movie was Spread.
It's one of his first movies.
What the hell? What's wrong with his second movie?
And it is pure shit, and it's hilarious.
It's so bad.
But it's not really his fault. It's kind of nobody's fault.
It's everyone's fault. You put your fucking foot on that set, it's your fault.
Don't you know make who would have been good spread at Spread?
Who?
Stifler.
Stifler probably would have been better at Spread.
Sean William Scott. Oh, yeah. You put Stifler as the main guy in Spread? Oh, my God. Definitely. Remember when we saw Stifler or Sean William Scott do a Q&A?
What movie was that for?
I think it's called The Promotion, and he was the nicest guy ever.
John C. Reilly movie?
Yeah.
No.
Sweetest man.
Couldn't find a sweeter one.
Couldn't have been a nicer guy. Mm-mm. This is about 15 years ago.
This is a landmark era of my
life.
Listen,
I love Stifler.
We love more Sean William Scott. Dude, he's funny. Fucking kills.
There's a movie theater called The Landmark out here.
I love The Landmark.
When they came out. That's owned by a businessman, the guy from fucking
Shark Tank. Is that owned by Mark Cuban?
Yeah.
They would do Q&As of their a lot of movies when they first came out.
Yeah.
They would, we saw Step Brothers.
So every like
we saw
like
that we saw every Pineapple like, Express.
Expensive like independent film that would come out.
Yeah.
We would go see there and there'd always be a Q&A afterwards. Unexpected too.
And that one it was Fred Armisen and John William Scott.
Yeah.
And I remember being sort of slightly annoyed because they were having too much fun and goofing off and weren't answering the questions.
Yeah.
All the way. But they still seem very nice.
I mean, after that movie, I remember Whit whispering to me saying, I have so many questions.
I was just like, how does he... Yeah. Where yeah. the...
Whit's main question from every Q&A is, how do you cast the actors?
How did you get in it?
Yeah.
That's probably what I was thinking the whole time.
We saw so many movies
My
that I would call
asked
now...
My dad me why I'm not Bruce Wayne.
Literally right. every Q&A I've ever been to, there's somebody who asks, how did you cast the actors?
I'm trying to figure out
what... Well, they were famous, and then there's like 20 famous people right now, so you just pick one of them.
I'm trying to think of the name of the movies, the type of... Like, give the type of movies that we saw there a name. The best I could do is IFC DVD.
Yeah, it was like $2 million indie movies from that era.
Yeah, so that you could put in the indie section of a Blockbuster.
Yeah, Management was another one we saw.
Rocket Science.
Rocket Science.
Year of a Dog. We didn't see Savages there. I think Savages came out when we were in high school.
No, we saw Savages.
These are all Lou Taylor.
Did we?
Yeah.
And you're telling me these are all Lou Taylor Pucci style movies.
I mean, Lou Taylor Pucci would have been all over these movies. I don't remember him being in any of these, but he would have been in these.
Like if Thumbsucker came out while we were in L.A., he'd be front row and center for that.
Oh, yeah.
Freaky little flick.
Okay, well, that's probably... Let's end it with some Lou Taylor Pucci talk. We love Lou Taylor Pucci.
Yeah.
And
there's two things that we love on this podcast. Lou Taylor Pucci and Scooby-Doo.
Well, pup named.
A pup named.
Oh, yeah, pup named.
Okay, anywho, gang. Sorry this episode's so long. Bye, gang.
Bye.